are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
You know, back in my day, when a paranormal apparition threatened death in a timeline, it was 7 days and over a phone call. Now these ghostly paranormals are getting in your face as a big face. And they're not just saying when you're going to die. They're giving you specific times and letting you know what's going to happen to your soul. Burning in hell for an eternity. Mwahahahaha. In Korean. We're here today to talk about the new miniseries, Season 1. Hellbound, directed by the Yeon Sang-ho, Train to Busan director, also Peninsula, and Psychokinesis. I believe all three, at least in the States, are going to be available on Netflix as well. Again, Hellbound. We are in a world where a floating head appears out of nowhere and lets you know when you're going to die. And that you're going to be burning in hell. Then when that time comes, three ghostly ghoulies that look like living smoke and tar beat the shit out of you and then burn your body to a crisp. A detective tries to get to the bottom of this by interviewing a cult leader who insists he knows what's going on here, knows the truth about why this is happening, and knows that only he can stop it. But there's more evil about in this cult, as there usually is. And what of the world now that people are dropping dead? What of society now that we walk amongst sinners? To discuss this series, I have someone who always repents of all his sins. Neil is with us.
Hello.
And I got someone who knows about all the greatest cinematic ass whoopings of all time. Doggett is with us.
Cult streamer Doggett.
And let's just get this out of the way. The show is big ideas. Criticism of corporations and religion as private business, also as media. But what did you guys think of the brutal destruction of a person that these ghoulies do to someone who has been told they're going to die by
the... Bradley, I don't know if you've... You keep saying this. I don't think you're selling it enough.
I'm not.
No. They rip sections of flesh off them, and some of it they're raking and punching. But yeah, it's like they take them over a cheese grater.
They beat the ever living shit out of you. That's the scary part. Like, if this was like an American TV show, it really would just be the beam of light that turns you into a smoking skeleton. But it's the beating they're going to give you before that. That's truly terrifying. They will sock you.
It's like you didn't just steal their money. You stole someone they care about's money. And they're like, you think you can steal from my grandma? Are you out of your mind? And that's how they beat you to death. And they shoulder roll while they're doing it. And they strut as well. Did you notice that? They, like, one of them was walking around like Conor McGregor after a title fight, throwing his arms out.
So much collateral damage. Oh, pedestrians in the way.
There has to be a TikTok where they play John Cena's theme while they're entering.
Car in the way. Probably is. Backhanded. Dude hides under a car. Do they push the car out of the way? No. They bash the car in and then drag him out from under it, which they could have done. Like, these three, I love your description of Tar. I thought it was muscular licorice is what I was thinking of.
I call them shadow gorillas.
Shadow gorillas works too. Like, they really enjoy their job. Really enjoy it.
So our detective protagonist, Ik Jun Young, character actor playing Jin Kyung Hoon, is investigating this cult, this phenomenon, and his goal is to bring someone to justice, because a murder is a murder, regardless if it's a human being doing it or ghoulies, I keep saying. This goes on for about 3 episodes. Then we get a 4-year time jump. And the show takes a turn for, I want to say, the worse. But then a dread is introduced in which I had to Wikipedia what happened next. I spoiled myself because I was so unsettled to my core. Not image-wise, not in a disturbing, gross-out way, but there's a story beat that happens that my
trigger in 3 days, like, we're coming for that ass.
Yeah. Nope. I need to know what happens right now, or I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Yeah, we won't do spoilers, but I did love how... So there's this face. You said the face shows up and says, like, Neil or Bradley or Doggett, but this particular case... There's no name, and they totally play into that. Like, whatever otherworldly, like, if this is God or Satan or whatever, I have no name on the placard. What do I do? Like, they're showing up to do the proclamation and can't start it. I wasn't disturbed by that. The time jump was a little jarring just because we got invested in the cop, and he's just not present. And we're kind of, we're being not just reintroduced to what's going on in Seoul, but introduced to a whole new batch of characters. Like, that feels like a season break, not a mid-season six episode break.
To be fair, I did like the newer characters more than the cop for me personally. I was fine with leaving the cop behind.
Well, I think that he's such a talent. And he's been a talent for a long time, really bringing about the American audiences, what Netflix wants, of course, with his performances. He's so relatable in that cool, badass action hero, but, you know, just trying to do right by his family kind of guy.
Yeah.
This new character is also good, actually. I'm not going to disagree with you there, Doggett. I believe it's Jung Min Park playing a character, Ba Young Jae. And he has a new family, has a darling bride. And he's living in this world where a face appears and claims people are dead, where corporations are like, we know what's going on. Give money to us. Where cults are springing up and doing God's will.
Well, I wouldn't say cults. I'd say cult. Because the new truth is a cult, a religion.
It started out as a cult, and then it became the religion.
Well, and the chairman wasn't asking for money. He was asking for your attention. We get this shift, and the cult religion is now asking for everything, as in they tell the police what to do now. They're so ingrained in everything, and they make it like this is global. This isn't just Seoul. They have influence everywhere. They've become a corporation.
That was one of my favorite parts of the time jump when it
very
goes
Death Note.
And they have a PSA like, did you see the apparition? Are you a dirty, filthy sinner? Oh, no, Mom. Are you a dirty, filthy sinner? Well, come to the corporation, the truth, and we'll help you make sure your demonstration is A-okay. And when you're beat to death and killed, you'll be treated with respect, you know, and things like that. And then the little girl's all like, yay, do it, Mom.
I know we're talking about the plot right now, but I still can't get over the beatings. I'm not even joking. There's a point where the show shows you what happens if you try to commit suicide before they come for you. And that was just so heartbreaking.
One more point, though, I want to ask you guys, since I'm kind of beating around the bush of the themes, which is, does the media, corporations, and religions control our lives and how we see society and treat people within our society? I want to say no, but I am a pretty judgmental bastard, too.
Wait, I got a message from Mickey Mouse. The answer is no.
I think that's a theme. I felt the bigger theme was the free will argument that's throughout the whole season, not just one time period or another, but it's in both. And it's what really plays into the second half of if free will is or isn't and how that could unravel or make something.
No, absolutely. Fascinating stuff. Because when a voice appears, the face, and people know that that happened to you, they start thinking, what did this person do? Why would the face appear to them? What horrible secrets do they have? What a filthy, gross sinner they must be. And that's pretty apt, I'd say.
I think that's the media part, because they are so desperate to find out what they do, because they're looking for where the bar is set. How do you get picked? What's the level of sin? And I think it's in the first section, they can't find the sin, and they're really worried, like, has the bar been moved lower and lower so anybody can be picked?
The pirating commercials must be crazy in this universe. You wouldn't steal a car.
Yeah. Now, before we get into final thoughts, I got to ask you guys, what did you think of the Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube guy who started the
Arrowhead?
The Arrowhead, yeah.
Well, I mostly thought about you, Bradley, and you were probably watching thinking, yes, this is how they all are. This is all of them.
No, that guy was the most insane out of all of them.
I meant content creators.
Yes. So, this man, this content creator, has like a, it almost seems like a 24/7 chat. I'm so old. I shouldn't be the one explaining this. Do you guys know how the YouTubes work?
He's a streamer, Bradley. He's a streamer.
Yeah, he's a streamer and an influencer, because at one point he says, I'm Arrowhead, but I don't think he did anything. He just would stream, tweet, Instagram. And Arrowhead would end up... So Arrowhead's like this vigilante arm who will go and find the sinners or whatever. And he would just point them in directions, but he didn't lift a finger to actually do anything they did. He's a mouthpiece.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't very good. He wasn't good at... what's the word? Making that money.
Well, he has a whole shtick. He's in like a blacklit room with neon colors all over his face. His lowest setting is like a 9 and his highest is like a 24. And he's like, sinners, all will be killed. All of you. You can't hide from God's judgment. Look at these detectives trying to judge God. Someone should kill them. That's not me making threats. Your days are numbered, though, detectives. And
yeah, when he had no narrative, he was creating narrative just to keep views.
Now, were you both surprised by the twists and turns that almost were like jump scares? Like when we find out who Arrowhead's number one informant is, that kind of broke my heart a little bit. Like, what? You're the guy feeding Arrowhead? Oh my gosh.
I did not see really any of these twists coming, and I loved every single one of them.
Well, it's because I was always on the edge of my seat waiting for the next beating when, like, a story moment would happen. It's like, oh, that hurts just as much.
You know. It would have... I wonder what they decided would have been too much after these beatings. Like, if one of the...
I don't know, because they ragdoll a dude a couple of times. Like,
yeah.
I don't
drown
know.
Drown a guy.
This show might be more violent than Squid Games.
I mean... Yeah, at one point, Smokey Gorillas are like, Larry, back off. Don't kill him yet. We got to nuke him.
The only thing that would have overdone it is if after they posed over the corpse and did like a, you know, a selfie next to the bones. But all right, let's jump into our final thoughts from there. Neil, final thoughts on Hellbound.
I went in not knowing a lot. This director, I've seen Train to Busan and King of Pigs. I didn't like King of Pigs, but I really liked Train to Busan. And the trailer or the Netflix clip that plays when you stall on it is like the opening of the movie. So you know nothing. I found all the characters intriguing to a certain degree. I got invested in most of them. The second half, I think, has stronger characters, and we're seeing how this plays out. The twists and turns are—I wouldn't even call them jump scares. But just the "oh shit" moments. Because I said that out loud, watching it by myself a couple of times. Just "oh sure," but this—I liked it. But as more time has passed since I've watched it, it's grown on me and grown on me and grown on me. If we do another review next week, it's going to have a slightly higher score because I just have liked it more as it's set in, and we maybe have the possibility of a season two. It's been getting really good views on Netflix. I've even seen a couple of news outlets say it's the new Squid Game, so they're all desperate to, like, Squid Games blew up, and now we have to find its next successor. But if it gets a season two, okay, I'm totally in. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 functional but stylish teal jackets that all your buddies in New Truth will wear.
Nice. Dog it.
Well, yeah, I really enjoyed the show also. There's Netflix has been doing pretty good with these Korean shows. Like, if you enjoyed Squid Games or Sweet Home, it's kind of like that, you know, except with regular-looking people that who don't look like models. I think this will be really good for a lot of people. I think there's enough intrigue in there to keep you in there. And, once again, cannot stress enough, the fucking beatings these people get will be burned into your mind forever.
Pun intended.
I lay awake at night just thinking about the poor woman who's the first one that's being televised, and how she got it, and it's just, it was a lot. So yeah, I would probably give this 8 out of 10 moments someone in the crowd shouted "World Star."
So I'll mimic both of you guys as the third of us. Trio, beating people to death. This, though, I'm going to go a little lower because I've been trying to learn to enjoy being shaken by actual horror, you know, and not like, oh, I like scary movies, when they're really more entertaining than scary. This, as I said, I don't regularly look up spoilers. I don't even like watching trailers. But when an all is lost moment happened in the second half of this show, I like went breathless, like, nope, 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 nope. I have to find out right away what's going to become of this because I can't. The dread is too much. My anxiety is through the roof. And if you like feeling that way, this is probably going to be a 10 out of 10 for you. In the meantime, this will be a 7 out of 10 misleading comments on a cult board.
So, Bradley, are you just not used to, like, something, like, making you feel emotions?
Wow.